Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us today. Delighted to have you on board. Looking forward to the dialogue and discussion together. Let me remind us once again that as we face the issues, we do so not based on ideological, philosophical rhetoric. It's not based on denominational dogma with the rites and the rituals and the rules and the regulations. As we face the issues, we do so based on a central biblicist worldview. I've had people to ask, what does it mean, a central biblicist worldview? It simply means that our worldview is based on a biblical theological doctrinal truth. That's the fundamental foundation of what we ought to believe and do, and it should direct all that we say and do and allow us to face the issues with authority and with truth. Jesus said to his disciples, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Jesus said that to his disciples in John 8, 31 and 32, and he's dealing with truth. And then Jesus describes and gives us the understanding of what is truth. Jesus says, thy word is truth in John 17, 17. Ladies and gentlemen, the number that you can call if you want to join in the dialogue and discussion today, 831-0917, 831-0917. Before we get into the monologue, let me remind you that on tomorrow's broadcast, we'll be dealing with a subject that I think is timely. We'll be dealing with the subject, the issue, the proofs of the resurrection. It always surprises me the number of people that have believed some aberrant rhetoric about Jesus' resurrection. Some that say that he did not physically arise from the dead, that it was just a phantom. Multitudes of different theories have been promulgated down through the centuries, and it surprises me the number of 21st century Christians that do not understand the truth of the resurrection. The broadcast tomorrow will cover that as comprehensively as possible in a half-hour broadcast. I have done many messages on that subject, and I have drawn those together and produced it in a manuscript that's in the process now of being edited for the future publication of a book by that title, The Proofs of the Resurrection. So I invite you to be sure and put on your calendar to tune in to the Mars broadcast. Anyone that you know of that is a skeptic, or someone that you know of that might question the resurrection of Jesus and its viability, verifiability, and provability scripturally, invite them to tune in and listen with you. Tomorrow's broadcast, The Proofs of the Resurrection. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll be talking about a subject today that I believe is on the forefront of the newspapers and the television commentators, especially when it comes to fake news. I want us to talk about today in a question form. Does the Bible talk about hate crime? Or you could have a subtopic, if you please. What is hate speech? Or what is a hate crime? I believe we've recently watched several events that bring that to the forefront, and we need to understand it. And let me just simply say at the very outset, the greatest hate crime I believe that's taking place in America today is that venomous hate against God, against His church, against anything that's biblical truth. But ladies and gentlemen, in Europe, in Canada, in most Islamic nations, you'll find hate crime laws. hate crime speech and hate crime laws where it's against the law to even speak about some things. Laws that will prosecute and persecute a person for simply publicly speaking about an Islamic person or about a homosexual individual. You can even be jailed or put to death for committing such crimes as hate crimes, especially in Islamically controlled nations. Recently read an article where a preacher was prosecuted, fined $55,000, and put in jail for on the street corner preaching Jesus. That's a hate crime to me. Not a hate crime of what he's done, but a hate crime perpetrated against the preacher because of preaching the truth. May I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, just what is a hate crime? How is it defined? Here is, for whatever it's worth, and some agree with Wikipedia and others don't. Keep in mind, Wikipedia is an open encyclopedia where you can go in and modify, add, and change. So for what value it would be, I just simply wanted to establish a baseline to talk about hate crime and hate speech. Wikipedia encyclopedia on the word hate crime says a hate crime, also known as a bias-motivated crime or a biased crime, is prejudice-motivated crime, which occurs when a perpetrator targets a victim because of his or her membership or perceived membership in certain social groups or races. Examples of such groups can include and are almost exclusively limited to sex, ethnicity, disability, language, nationality, physical appearance, religion. Of course, when they say religion, don't you dare think that if something is done or said against the church or against Christians, that someone's going to call it a hate crime. Generally, it's not viewed that way. Gender identity or sexual orientation. Further, this article says we're talking about hate crime as reported in a definition form in Wikipedia. Hate crime generally refers to criminal acts which are seem to have been motivated by bias against one or more of the social groups listed above or by bias against those derivatives. Incidents may involve physical assault, damage to property, bullying, harassment, verbal abuse, insults, or offensive graffiti or letters, or hate mail. Hate crime law is a law intended to deter race-motivated violence. And this article further says, hate crime laws enhance the penalties associated with the conduct which is already criminal under the laws, while hate speech laws criminalize a category of speech. Hate speech laws exist in many countries. United States hate crime laws have been upheld by the Supreme Court and lower courts, especially in the case of fighting words and other violent speech, but they are thought by some people to be in conflict with the First Amendment rights and the freedom of speech. But hate crimes are not only regulated through threats or injury or death. Ladies and gentlemen, for what it's worth, that's a brief description, and I think you'll understand it a little better when you think on the subject of hate crime or hate speech as reported by the fake news media that is often at the forefront of fake hoax, fake crimes. So just how is it that so much happens that is categorized as hate speech or hate crime, yet some of these are not truly hates or, if you please, hate speech or hate crimes, many of them that are really hateful and hatred are ignored. FBI reported supposedly more than 17% rise in hate crimes across America. The real question is how many of those are truly hate crimes or just simply believed to be. And I say that because back in 2005, prior to the head of CARE, which was then domiciled in Tampa, Florida, prior to his moving to Jacksonville, Florida, and now he's elevated to the position of being on the Human Rights Commission in our city, Dr. Parvez Ahmed. Dr. Parvez Ahmed was the head of the CARE, Council on American Islamic Relations, domiciled out of Tampa, heading up the group for the state of Florida. CARE, Council on American Islamic Relations, which is a vile, vicious, rabid organization that's very destructive in nature. But on their site, their Muslim website, prior to his washing the site in order to prepare himself for acceptance here in Jacksonville, promulgated his position and appointment by the previous two mayors, Delaney and Peyton, put him in the position that he's in. But ladies and gentlemen, they had on their website, and I'll paraphrase it for you, that if you're a Muslim and you're walking down the sidewalk any place and you see someone spit on the sidewalk, immediately call a police officer over, file a formal report that that individual tried to spit on you. The idea, ladies and gentlemen, is to come across as the underdog and to look as though a hate crime has been perpetrated so that the number can be calculated and tabulated to show that across the nation, somehow, some way, they're underfoot, undertrodden, and hate crime is being perpetrated against them. I can recall, ladies and gentlemen, back in 2003, the March 22nd, 2003 issue of World Magazine, covering page 16 through page 19. Title of it was Debate, Not Hate. The central focus of that national magazine article was a picture, a photograph of our church sign. And on the church marquee, it simply said that Muhammad taught murder, but Jesus taught peace. That sign was photographed, and it was carried around the globe on the internet. It wound up being publicized on the front page of the Riyadh newspaper. And as a result of that, there was the fatwa, the calling for every Muslim everywhere to confront Dr. Youngblood because of his hate speech. And it was simply telling the truth. I have studied the Quran. The Quran is filled with nothing but hatred, malice, and enmity toward any non-Muslim. But the title of that article in that magazine was Debate, Not Hate. Just because you're debating an issue, because you're publicizing an issue, doesn't mean it is rooted in hatred or animus in any way. We have gotten today to the place in America where any speech can be viewed as racist or hateful, as a hate speech or as a hate act. I believe we have a caller on the line. Go ahead with your question or comment, please.
Well, I've got a comment for today and one for yesterday. Yesterday, I was unable to call, but I'd have loved to have been able to engage on, I guess you were hitting the global warming / climate change. But today, in dealing with Islam, and it gets me because there are two categories that if you touch on it today, you're going to be tagged as fearful, inappropriately so, and that's you're tagged as an Islamophobe if you speak out against Islam, and as a homophobe if you identify homosexuality or any, you know, part of that group, the LGBTQIA. If you identify that as sin, all of a sudden you're a homophobe. You're a bigot. You're of course an Islamophobe. They also will call you a racist, and you go, that's not a race or an ethnicity. That's a religious and political construct. But it is amazing to me that we have forgotten the lesson of 9/11. We've forgotten the lesson of ISIS, and we have embraced, and of course, tons of folks have come here as refugees. Ilhan Omar up in Minnesota, she came as a refugee. There are now like 60,000 Somali refugees in Minnesota today, a lot of them in the Minneapolis area. And of course, she was elected to office. She apparently hates this country. And it's scary to think where we may be another decade from now, if not for individuals willing to stand up, speak the truth, and not be fearful of the retribution. But even within the household of faith, I'm fearful that Christians have begun to go silent on the issues of sin and on the issue of Islamic aggression, because they're fearful of being tagged as Islamophobic or homophobic or racist or bigoted.
Yes, in fact, you say that made me think. Proverbs 8:13 says, "The fear of the Lord is to hate evil." And yet, when we think of the word hate, it's not from the standpoint of animus in our heart towards someone, but it's disliking, rejecting, refusing to allow evil. And that is the little word poneros, means anything that's bad, worthless, wretched, rotten, that is destructive to the moral, ethical warp and woof of society today.
Well, you know, and yesterday I was unable to call in. However, I'd love to ask, you know, beg this one question of the audience out there, or make this suggestion at least. As individuals talk about climate change today, challenge them. says, hold on a second. I thought we were headed for an ice age, at least when I was a kid. We were headed for an ice age because of chlorofluorocarbons, you know, the hole in the ozone. We were headed for an ice age. And then it was, oh, the SUVs are killing the planet. It's global warming, global warming. According to Al Gore, we weren't going to make it to the turn of the century. The polar caps were going to be denuded of ice. The whole world was going off a cliff because of our SUV driving and carbon emissions. And, of course, now we've got AOC that says 12 years from now our planet will be unlivable. It's interesting, though, that they shifted from global warming to climate change, because climate change is real. Climate's always changing. But ask one of the climate change nut bars, first off, make them swallow their own medicine. Say, is it anthropogenic global warming? Anthropogenic means man-caused global warming. And is it catastrophic anthropogenic global warming? That means, is there going to be a catastrophe because of man's impact on the environment in such a fashion that he's causing global warming? You know, ask those questions first, and then ask, tell me, Mendenhall Glacier has been in retreat for 100 years, over 100 years, since the beginning of the 19th century, our 20th century, sorry, and we're in the 21st century now, so literally over 100 years, nearing 120 years, Mendenhall Glacier has been in retreat. Well, 1,000 years ago, before there was a glacier where Mendenhall Glacier is today, there was a forest. You hear me? A forest. Trees everywhere. Mendenhall Glacier advanced at such a pace, so quickly, that it shoved those trees over, left entire root systems intact. Well, for decades now, little roots and stumps and things have been popping up from underneath the glacier because of its retreat. Tell me, for the environmentalist wackos, for the global warmers, for the catastrophic climate change folks, tell me, was the climate impacted over 1,000 years ago by carbon emissions or by a hole in the ozone? What caused the catastrophe of Mendenhall Glacier? Oh, I'm sorry. Was it a catastrophe, or was it a good thing? Because now that it's retreating, it's a bad thing. Was it a bad thing when it was advancing? These people, they can't make their mind up. They cannot. All they would like to do is tax you and control you, and let's call it what it is. It is part of their socialist strategy, their authoritarian, their totalitarian strategy of controlling everything you do and taxing everything they can possibly tax.
You're exactly right. That's what I stated in the broadcast yesterday on that subject, was that the whole design purpose is through fake news and fake science in order to control we the people. And ultimately, if the AOC and the Green New Deal ever becomes a reality, we'll be an absolute totalitarian nation where we'll have the dictatorship rule, and we the people will be the slaves licking the boots of the dictator, because we were placed in that position under the globalist mindset, orchestrated and financed by George Soros in order to have a one world global governance. And we'll be the little lackeys, as I call it, in society as a result of it, because we'll be controlled by the United Nations. And I find it indefensible in that realm. Let me ask you a question in relationship to what is called hate speech and hate crime. Here's a brief statement. If you'll listen, then I'll ask the question. Dr. Wayne Grudem, in his book entitled Politics According to the Bible, said, and I quote, "Hate speech codes constitute a wrongful restriction on the freedom of speech. Such hate speech codes are wrong both because they violate the biblical values of freedom of speech, which is grounded in a number of values God has given us, and because it violates our basic constitutional rights," end quote. As a result of just thinking on that statement, it violates God's rights of the people to have freedom of speech, and the constitutional rights that we have. The principle of freedom of speech is that we're protected, and yet we have those that will say, if you say anything about the LGBTQ, or if you say anything about the Islam, that it is hate speech. But yet you touched on a moment ago with Omar, Representative Omar, that is speaking hate and absolutely venomous about America and about the Jewish people. In fact, just about a week ago, we had somebody that didn't like our marquee out front. Our marquee out front says, tell Representative Omar that want to keep America free. And someone did not traverse the property coming onto the campus, but they tagged a note, taped it with duct tape on the entrance post to the gate, said, "Hate talk like this should have no place in the house of God. So who are you and what are you?" And that is literally repulsive to some people that you're going to speak the truth. So how do you respond to that in the edification and the information and the enlightenment for our listeners today as to how a Christian ought to take the stand? And yet, fundamentally, when it comes to Christian bakers, Christian florists, and Christian businessmen in general, we're to be demeaned and put down, and yet those that take the opposite stand are to be placated, and we're somehow, some way supposed to cower to that. What do you say to that kind of position in our society today?
Well, first off, it's tough to deal with willful ignorance, and we have a lot of folks that are willfully ignorant, both inside and outside the household of faith. Within, you know, AOC the other day actually said that FDR was run out of office by Republicans who changed the Constitution so he couldn't run again, even though he died in office. these are people on the left that they don't know the difference between a boy and a girl. You know, they say there are 30 some odd different genders. These are folks that are eating Tide Pods, so it is kind of tough to get through to them. However, a brief view of the past many centuries of history and Islam will prove to be unbiased, will prove that Islam is inherently violent. Islam is inherently aggressive. Islam, if you follow their perfect man, Muhammad, he was a violent, murdering, raping, pedophile, and some will say demon-possessed. And, of course, he is, within the religion, he's tagged as their perfect man. Islam is incompatible with the Constitution. A former Supreme Court justice in 1955, and I could rattle off his name, I'll actually email you a little later, listed all the reasons right out of the Quran, right out of the Hadith, all the reasons why Islam is incompatible with our Constitution. You know, when a Christian puts his hand on the Bible and swears an oath to support, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic, when that Christian does that, he can do that without doing any damage to his relationship with the Lord, any damage to his Christian walk. Can Islam say the same? No, they cannot, not honestly. Now, they may perform this thing called taqiyya and lie to you for the advancement of their faith. And I believe that's what Ilhan Omar, representative there in Minneapolis, has done. I believe that is one after another, if they're adherent followers of the faith. And
you see what's taking place with her statements, and she has free speech. But when she is elected to a public office representing our nation, no longer can she say the things that she says. But when you analyze and look at her background and understand that she believes in and follows the code of ethics, if you will, or the non-ethics from the Christian standpoint of the Muslim Brotherhood, she believes in ISIS, she believes in the upholding the hands of the so-called Palestinian organization that wants to kill all of the Jews, and yet she is demeaning Jewish people. That is hate speech. And nothing, she, with her hate speech, with the anti-Semitic view that she has, and that hate speech fuming from her, she's embraced by Nancy Pelosi and the left in the House of Representatives today. And I find that absolutely incomprehensible. And yet we find also the Jesse Smollett with the hoax of a hate crime. And now he is being lauded and praised by multitudes that are saying he's all right. There's that Al Sharpton and what's his name?
Jesse Jackson.
Jesse Jackson. that has come out of the woodworks, out of the mothballs, and he's taken the stand that nothing was done wrong. But can you imagine if that had been a Christian perpetrating a hoax of that type? The fake news would be all over it, that the Christian church and the Christian is all wrong. We should all be persecuted. We should all be prosecuted. We should all have our church doors closed, et cetera, et cetera. Speaking of that issue, the double standard there in laws and in our regulations.
You have a double standard because we've left the constitutional standard. I mean, that First Amendment of the Constitution protects freedom of speech, freedom of the press, freedom of religion, and they are trampling over these things. freedom of religion to, and many times from religion. And
are you there?
Hey, we need to go back. Folks, I challenge you, grab a Webster's 1828, first dictionary used within the states and united language, north and south, east and west. The Webster's 1828 on the word religion. Look it up. I challenge you. Look it up. You have like four or five different definitions. All of them identify very succinctly, clearly Christianity. The last definition says, hey, if you're going to include all these things, including Mohammedism, Confucianism, Buddhism, then you must, and by the way, they call it Mohammedism.
That's right.
You have to differentiate between true religion and false religion. So, folks, this hogwash that has been taught that we got to embrace everything, put your arms around everything, welcome everything, that's ridiculous. It's insane. And
one of the things that's taking place, I'm looking at an article here. It says George Soros bankrolled the hate crime database used by the media. And it talks about the foundation of the Open Society, which is George Soros, gave $200,000 in 2017 to the organization. He gave then in 2017, $375,000, another $200,000 given in 2018. And it's a whole repertoire of material and information that's used by the fake, phony, false media today to call different things hate crime. And most of the hate crime is simply against those that are truly conservatives, and especially if they wear MAGA hat, and you stand for President Trump. But one of the things in the final few minutes that we have, I want to talk about, is the question, asking the question, are there real hate crimes in America today? And I say yes. Murder by abortion is a hate crime. Murder by infanticide is a hate crime. It's a hate crime to embrace the sodomite lifestyle rather than confronting sin. It's a hate crime against Christians and Christian ministries and churches when the LGBTQ are allowed to prosecute and to persecute Christian florists and Christian businesses and Christian bakers because of it. It's hatred and animus against God that's called a hate crime, but in reverse order. Speak to that issue of whether or not should Christians hate. The Bible says the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. And from that standpoint, we ought to.
Right. Well, it's time for good folks to take a stand. I think it was, what was his name? It said the only way for evil to triumph is for good men to do nothing. The reality is when Christians bury their head in the sand, when Christians hide in the closet, when Christians don't speak the word in truth or speak the truth in love, then calamity befalls us. I'm convinced that though it was said that Lot was sat in the gates of the city, which many say that represented some level of leadership, he obviously was not vocal. He was not willing to stand up and speak up. And because of that, in part, judgment fell on a nation. Judgment fell on a community because righteousness was not exalted, and they absolutely were enveloped in their sin.
Yes.
So it takes Christians, the word of the Lord says that faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word. We need to be faithful to be sharing his word, even when it hurts feelings.
Absolutely.
Within the household of faith, we've let all sorts of things creep in because we're afraid we're going to hurt somebody's feelings. Drop that fear and stand for truth.
Take a stand for truth. And remember, according to the scripture, let me just give this in our closing comments. God hates, the scripture says, God hates false religiosity. God hates hypocrisy and lies. God hates evil wrongdoers. God hates divorce. God hates violence. God hates idolatrous practices. And he hates the one that brings discord in the body of Christ. And in Jeremiah 44:4 says he hates the ways that preachers, his prophets, are treated in the world today. Ladies and gentlemen, remember, the Christian is hated because the world first hated the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, for joining in the broadcast today. Looking forward to meeting you on the air even tomorrow as once again we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University. 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study. Prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in this same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on AM 1600 and 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.